Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.
One of the great questions in our life is, who am I? We ask that question openly, and sometimes many people just stop asking. But I can tell you, it remains a question on the inside of your soul. It's prominent in our thinking. It impacts our motivation. And so whether we're aware of it or not, many times that's the thing that drives us, is, who am I? In the jobs we pursue, the relationships we get involved in, and the directions that we take in life. And as we're asking this question, often the answer to this question about our value, we come up with these kind of answers. I am what I do. It's about achievements. So we feel like our value is in our achievements, and it could be the business that you're involved in, or it could be the songs that we sing, or the books that we wrote, or our work, our career. It's accomplishments. And when it's not going well, when it is going well with those things, we feel great. But when it's not going well, then we feel less valuable, less significant. Our sense of self goes down. And another thing that we answer this question with is, I am what I have. And so that's about possessions. Possessions in a number of ways, not just material things, but possessions that we have. And so the more we have, or the better we have, the better we feel about ourselves. But then, if you lose possessions, if you lose your health, or if you lose a loved one in your family, that sense of loss, there's a friend who no longer cares about you or loves you, and that sense of loss causes you to feel less about yourself because you think, I am what I have, and now you have less. And the other answer to that question is, I am what others say about me. So when people say, good job, you're the best, you're awesome, it feels great, doesn't it? And we like that, and it's good to hear that. But the reality is, you can't please everyone. And even some people that you do please, you're not going to please them all the time. And so our view of ourselves goes up and down sometimes when we have unconsciously put a value in, I am what other people say. You know, even in the past, in some of my sermons, I've gone through this where I'll teach a message, and after the service, you know, I have two or three people, thank you, Philip, good job, I really appreciate that, spoke to, you know, all those kind of things. And then one person says something critical, like, I don't really like that, or I don't agree. And I think about that all week long. Not everything else, and the salvation is that one thing that that person said. And so, thank God I'm much better at that now, you know, but, you know, we do that to ourselves. And things people say to us can cut deeply, can wound us, and sometimes it can even be devastating. If we live this way, our life will go up and down like a roller coaster, and it can cause us to live in kind of an unstable darkness. Now, Satan came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, and he tempted him. Satan tempted Jesus, and it was in these same areas that he tried to tempt him. Look, the devil came to Jesus and he said, turn these stones into bread. You know, perform. Do something. Because then you will know that you're loved and that you're valuable and that you're important. And then Satan says to Jesus, jump down from the temple. Amaze people. They will speak well of you. Everybody will be talking. Then you will know you are loved and you are valuable and you're important. And then he says, kneel down to me, Jesus. Worship me. And I will give you so much. So many possessions, kingdoms, lands, everything that you could want. And you'll have great possessions, and then you will know that you are loved, that you are valuable, that you're important. And Jesus said to him, that's a lie. That is a lie, because before I came to this moment, my Father spoke from heaven into my heart, and he said, you are my son whom I love, and my favor rests on you. And so who he is what guided his heart and his life. And listen, that's who you are. That's who I am. You are the loved of God, and His favor rests on you. And when that becomes a deep sense of knowing and personal revelation, not just information that we take notes with, but we feel that we are the loved of God. Oh, it changes how we deal with life and how we deal with circumstances. So whatever you face, you can know, you know what? I am loved by God, and His favor rests on me. You know, psychologists say that our self-worth is often based on what we think others think of us. Not what they actually think, but what we think they think. So our self-image is based on what we think the most important people in our life, who we deem most important, what they think of us. And so to a child, that would be your parents, or to an adult, it could be a spouse or a parent or a friend or a mentor or something. And to a woman, it could be a man in your life. It could be somebody who has spoken evil against you or good against you. To a man, it could be a father, a brother, a leader, a boss, whatever it might be, a coach or something. And the problem with that dynamic is that people are human, and they can disappoint us. They can wound us, even the closest of friends. And so when we get our value from what other people think, then over time, you're going to feel less and less valuable. And we must let the voice of our Heavenly Father speak into our life and let Him be the most important person in our life. Because to Him, our value is significant. And to us, our value is important. Don't let the voice of an imperfect person, whether it be a friend or your earthly father or someone else, have the greatest impact on you. Don't live your life feeling inferior and insecure. Because people might say, oh, you're not very attractive, or you're a failure. But God says, you are important and you're beautiful to me. People might say, you aren't worth much, or you're not going to accomplish much. But God says, you are loved, accepted, and approved. That's what we need to hear. He wants us to know we're extremely valuable. We are valuable because of four things. One, we're valuable because of who created us. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. Let that sink in a little bit. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things He planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece. I like that. We are not created on an assembly line of millions of people. We are custom made. We are His masterpiece. And when God looks at the creation that He has made, His greatest masterpiece is you. Yeah, not the sunsets or the mountains or the beaches or the amazing animals or the solar system or whatever it might be. He looks past all those beautiful creations and He looks right at you and says, this is my masterpiece. Because of who created us. It says in Deuteronomy 26, the Lord has declared today that you are His people, His own treasure. Look at that. We are His masterpiece. We are His treasure. We are God's treasure. You. Not just the person next to you. You. And look what it says in Romans 8, 28. We know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love Him. And listen. And are chosen to be part of His plan. You're His masterpiece. You're His treasure. You are chosen. Not just random. So you and I are valuable, not because of what you do or don't do, not because of what you have or don't have, or not because of who you know or don't know, or what others have said about you or done against you. We are valuable because of the value that God has placed on us. I'm going to ask for a volunteer here. And Romel, why don't you come on up here? Don't be shy. Just walk over here. Come on up. Romel is one of our worship leaders. Good to see you. Are you scared of me? You didn't want, it looked like you didn't want to come up here. You're just not sure what to expect. Okay. So I want to... Get out of here. That's a good job. That's good. All right. I have right here a $50 bill. Now, I got this when I went to the bank, and they gave it to me, so I know it's good. And plus, I got one of these little babies that they do at the store, and you just mark it. You know what they look for when they do that? Yeah. Neither do they. It's just in the employee manual. They just want you to get nervous if you've been messing around, you know? They don't know what they're looking for. They work at Target, not the Federal Reserve, you know? Nothing wrong with Target. Anyway, so if you had this, how much do you think this would be worth? $50 right there. And then, so if you took this to the store and bought some goods or whatever it might be, what kind of value of goods could you buy? $50. Yep. And so, well, what if I just wadded it up and treated it like trash and threw it down? How much would it be worth? And what if I stepped on it and just drove it into the ground? There's a bunch of trash. How much do you think that's worth? $50 still. Well, let me see. I can try harder. What if I just wrote on it with my pen and I just wrote, no value. Doesn't work. A disappointment. How much do you think this would be worth? $50. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. What if I started a rumor about this thing? And I started saying, you know what I heard? It's a counterfeit. This thing is fake. It may look real, but it's a phony. How much would it be worth? $50. Because that's what it is. That's the way that we are in life sometimes. God has established a value on us. And some of you have been through abuse and hurt and rejection and betrayal, but you're still his treasure. You might have been through a divorce, or you might have been through drug addiction, or you might have had various problems in your life, but you're still his treasure. And so don't let life circumstances reduce your treasure. Sometimes when we think of ourselves, we would have been answering that question, oh, about 20, oh, about 15, now about 10, now about 5. It's still 50. We are still God's treasure. Here you go, Ramel. Why don't you take that with you and see how it works out? Let me know if you can get any there. If they start holding it up to the light, you can just drop down to a Tebow right there in the store. Listen, we may not be perfect, and we aren't. We all make mistakes, but God has chosen us. He loves us and values us. Did you ever think about the worth of the human body? Your body. I read this article that was published in a magazine that was a medical survey. And so they wrote lists of things about the human value or the human body that had a financial value to it. So it lists this list. Bone marrow headed the list at being valued at $23 million. Then based on 1,000 grams at 23,000 per gram, DNA is worth $9.7 million. Extracting antibodies can bring $7.3 million. A lung is worth $116,000. A kidney, $91,000. A heart, $57,000. And even women's eggs have a value. It says that a fertile woman could sell 32 egg cells over 8 years and make $250,000. Now, this list I just read to you is probably illegal or unethical or also impossible. But the prices are based on the cost estimates taken from hospitals and insurance companies in evaluating this. So when our body is broken down into fluids and tissues and germ-fighting bodies, your body, my body, is worth $45 million. Yeah, $45 million. So when somebody says to you, hey, you look great, you look like $1 million, just say, excuse me, $45 million. you know, 45 million is a lot. That's the value you have on some level. Some of us, after Thanksgiving dinner, we're worth like 46, 47 million. See, that's a great way to look at it. I'm not overweight. I'm just more valuable than other people. Look at what, let me just say to this. The reality is, your body is worth more than that because it's irreplaceable. You have great value. You see, and look what the Bible says in Psalm 139. David says this, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let that be your thanksgiving to God. Let it change how you see yourself, how you are in your heart. I saw this movie this year called The Help. Anybody see that movie? It was such a great movie. Personally, it was one of my favorites. And one of the stars of it, Viola Davis, Viola and her husband Julius, have been coming to the Oasis for years and very involved members of our church. But the movie is about, set in the 1950s, and it's about African-American housekeepers and nannies and how they were treated by the white households. But the unique part of the story is the close bond and connection that they had with the children that they were raising. And they loved the children and they loved them. And there was a strong connection. Even the story was written by one of these white children who grew up and wrote about her experience at that time. And it was a really inspiring movie while troubling at the same time. But one of the scenes, she takes a young child in her hand. She says, look at me. She goes, you is kind. You is smart. You is important. I was so moved by it that somebody else was telling their daughter this. I went home and told my daughter, Paris, you is smart. You is kind. You is important. Because I know that, Dad. What I want you to know is that you are the loved by God and his favor rests in your life. The second reason that we are valuable is because of our purpose. God wants to use you and me to represent Jesus Christ to the world. That's a high calling. That's an important role. We are going to be used by God to cause people to be saved for eternity, to be forgiven for their sins, to be able to live in his presence because of the message that we bring. The Bible says we are ambassadors. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians 5. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's how God sees us. You've got a great purpose in the earth. Ambassadors stand tall, hold their heads up high. They are confident because they have been sent by presidents and heads of states. But you and I, we have been sent by the King of Kings. We have been sent by royalty. Therefore, we are royalty. We are ambassadors. It's part of our purpose. And he can use us no matter what we've been through. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we are ambassadors. We are light of God in this world. We are God's way for people to know of his love. And we need to know that we are the loved of God and his favor is on us. The third reason we're valuable is because of whose hands we are in. Let me explain what I mean. You see, I have right here a football. And, you know, this football I purchased for $30. In my hands, this football is worth $30. But in Peyton Manning's hand, the all-star quarterback, when it's in his hands, it's worth like $15 million or more. And this year, if they could just get it into his hands once, it would be worth a victory. But in my hand, it's just what you paid for it. And then I got this baseball bat, Louisville Slugger. And in my hand, this bat cost $25. But in Matt Kemp's hands, the LA Dodgers most valuable player, just signed a contract for $160 million. Wow, the value just changed. In my hands, it's what I paid for it. And in his hands, it's very different. And this baseball, in my hand, is about $9. But in L.A. Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw, Cy Young Award winner, when it comes to contract time, it's going to be worth over $100 million. And this one right here, the basketball, in my hand, even though I'm an amazing dribbler, this ball is worth $30. But if it's in the hands of somebody like Dwayne Wade, an all-star NBA player, it's worth over $15, $16 million. Incredible. Of course, now with the strike going on, it's worth about the same in my hand or his. But you get the point. The reason that the value of these things change is whose hands they are in. In mine, they are one value. In the hands of those who know how to use them, they're worth millions, a fortune. The difference in the value is whose hands it's in. Let me ask you this question. Is your life in God's hands? That is what makes us valuable. You have amazing potential if your life is in God's hands. You can put your life in God's hands intentionally. But also, as a believer, he takes you in his hands. Look at what King David said. He says, my life is in your hands, God. He says in Psalm 37, 24, the Lord upholds him with his hand. He upholds us with his hand. And then look what Jesus himself said in John chapter 10. No one will snatch them out of my hand. That's you and I. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. We are in God's hands. You can give all that you are into his hands. I think the enemy, one of the enemies of value, is the feeling of rejection or unworthiness or those kinds of feelings. And when you can answer the question, who am I? At the depth of your soul, rejection does not have the same sting. Insecurity will not define us. Unworthiness will not guide our life. When your life is in God's hands, he will be your shield. He will be your strength. He will be that rock of your life when your life is in his hands. If someone says, you're not good enough, you're not talented enough, you don't belong here, God says you are valuable. You are important. You can say, you know what? You can say what you want, but my life is in God's hands. And he raises one up and another one down. You are loved by God, and his favor rests on you. The last thing I'll tell you about, we are valuable because what someone paid for us. What someone has paid for us. You know, the value of a thing is established by what someone will pay for the thing. You know, and so I just saw a painting by Vincent van Gogh called A Vase with 15 Flowers. It was a painting of a vase with 15 flowers. To my eye, it looked like any other painting of somebody who was trying to do a little vase and some flowers. But a couple of decades ago, it was sold for $79 million. The value is established by what someone will pay for it. In 2004, at a Sotheby's auction, Babe Ruth's heavy, solid ash Louisville Slugger from the 20s sold for $1.26 million. That made it the third most valuable baseball memorabilia ever sold in history. You probably want to know the first two. I don't know. I was preparing a sermon, not a sports talk. You look it up on your own. Listen, something might have a price tag on it, but I ask the question, what will somebody pay for it? Because in an economic turndown, we have homes that has a value that when we got into it, but now it's not the same value that it said on the price tag because people won't pay it for that. And so there are many things people try to sell, but it's not worth that. It's just the price tag. What it's really worth is what people will pay. And so look at what it says in Romans 8:31 about you and I. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And then it says in verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Oh man, that's a revealing verse. God gave his best for you. He paid the highest price possible. He sent Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus paid for us with his life. It gives us a little glimpse of who our God is. If he will give us Jesus, what else would he withhold from us? He's already shown the value, his intention toward us, his way of seeing us. It says he would give us graciously all things that we need to fulfill the purpose of God. You are loved by God, and his favor rests on you. What I'm saying to you today is that what it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are God's special possession. And people might leave you or overlook you or leave you out, but you have been handpicked by Almighty God. He says, I choose him. I chose her. That's the voice of God. People might say you don't matter much, but God says, you are my treasure. People might think that you're not important, but God says, I paid the highest price possible for them. They're important to me. They're important in this world. They're important in my plans. I like what it says in Isaiah chapter 61, that God says, he has removed the transgression and the sin and the marks against us. You know, those things that we would think would cause us to be less valuable. You know, the ways that we've messed up or what we've been through, just like that $50 bill I was messing up here. But God has created a way to wash away all failure, eliminate all sin, all transgression, so that we can spiritually become aware of his gift and what he's provided for us. And look what it says in Isaiah 61:7. He says, instead of your shame, you'll receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. You see, the Israelites were slaves for four centuries. 430 years they were in slavery. And they felt like slaves. They felt like they were unworthy. They had been stolen from and abused and humiliated and taken advantage of. And they had been disgraced. And we find out in the scripture that they could not go into the promised land and receive all that God had provided for them until they could see themselves as God's chosen people. And they struggled with that. And in one place in Joshua 5, verse 9, God's saying to Joshua, you're going to lead the people into the promised land. But he says to him, today I have rolled away or removed the reproach of Egypt from you. So what Egypt did to you, today I have removed it. And so when you see the word reproach, it's defined by blame and shame and disgrace. And God says, I've removed it so that you can go into the land knowing that you are chosen, knowing that you are valuable. And it's a human situation that we struggle with. Even them, this is a great verse in Numbers 13. The children of Israel looked at the opposing people and they said, you know, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Have you ever felt small? Have you ever felt insignificant? Like your voice doesn't matter? That's what they were going through. We feel insignificant. Look at those guys. And so what's their actual response? They felt little. And God says, I've removed that reproach. I got something great for you to do. You're going to be a great people. You're my people. You're my treasure. You're my chosen people. You're ambassadors of God's grace. Your Egypt today could be a divorce you've been through. Your Egypt could be the sexual abuse that you've experienced. It could be the offenses or crimes or sins or transgressions of your life. could be, your Egypt could be loss of money, of foreclosure, business going under, and you feel less than. We need to learn how to see ourselves as a masterpiece. We need to realize we have an important purpose in this life. We need to realize that we are in God's hands. You've got to let go of the blame and the shame and the disgrace so that you can do what God's called you to do. We have to find our value in God. And we must know in the deepest place of our soul that we are the loved by God and His favor rests on us. I want you to know your best days are ahead of you. The provision of God is ahead of you. The best is yet to come. Don't let what other people say shape you and impact you. Let God, what God said, our Creator, define your life. Today, maybe we can lay aside concerns and worries and shame. Maybe we can let the Holy Spirit renew us. And we don't take into account what others have said, but we take in what Jesus said and what He did. Jesus gave His life for you and for me. He gave His best. And you know what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to stand in a minute and we're going to worship God. And as I told you before, we are going to have one more time of worship and song. And then I'm going to come up and then we're going to worship God in our tithes and offerings and then we'll be released to go. But I want you, when you stand with us, with the praise and worship team, I want you to engage your heart and just begin to honor God. Whatever we're singing, whatever our focus, it's all about Him. And let the Spirit of God do healing in our life. One thing the Holy Spirit says is that He releases the captives. He came to release the captives and to cause the downtrodden to be released. Let that happen in your life right now. Why don't you stand with me and let's worship God.
Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church Podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.